listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. The WHFR Journal is next.
Welcome to the WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw with you. It is a pleasure to have you with us as we are in the throes of the summer season, that's for sure. One of the staples of this time of season that we at WHFR, and we know this Dearborn community looks forward to, of course, is the Dearborn Homecoming Festival. We are so excited to be able to participate again as a media partner and just a huge fan of this big event and one that brings this community and surrounding communities together like none other. So we decided to, you know, go to the top and see what our own mayor of Dearborn has to say about this year's festival, what we can expect, look forward to, and just the sort of the good vibes that go along with this event. So we want you to mark your calendar for August 1, 2, and 3, 2025. And then we're going to fill in some of those details with Dearborn Mayor Abdallah Hammoud joining us on the line today. Mayor, thank you for being here. Welcome and happy almost homecoming.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Obviously, always excited to talk about the biggest event of the year for the city of Dearborn.
Yeah, no doubt. We have, of course, music and food and arts and crafts and reunions and rides and games and truly something for everyone. We know that this is an event that is absolutely considered family friendly. Why don't we start with sort of speaking to that as well as, you know, sort of some of your favorite components of the festival?
You know, homecoming is that family-friendly event that draws families near and far and families that might be coming home, who might have moved away, but ultimately coming home and celebrate a reunion with their classmates from their high schools or from their neighborhoods, whatever it might be. Obviously, we have a lot to do. And so you have everything from Vendor Village to the Art District to the food and drink that you spoke to, the carnivals that we always have. But I think some of the special things about homecoming, for example, are like All-Stars Day. This is a special day for those with special needs, and it's typically on Friday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., where the festival exclusively open to them. And we allow them, you know, to kind of go on the carnival rides without all the noise and, the commotion that's happening. We have a special day of programming that happens along the South Shelter and the tennis courts at Ford Field Park. And we work closely with many local nonprofits, including organizations like Blue Hands United and some of our local schools that partner with us on making this day truly special. And so I think those are just some of the few things that really make homecoming such an amazing day, such an amazing weekend.
Yeah. As you mentioned, sort of the kickoff on Friday with All-Stars Day, which it's heartwarming. We have the pleasure of being able to be there to actually experience this on the carnival side. And it's just a beautiful thing to see. So when we say something for everyone, literally this means everyone. The concept of sort of some of the community members getting involved and participating directly in homecoming, what with, the Vendor Village and many of the nonprofits being represented. This, as we know, is certainly fun, entertaining, and a great way to just celebrate the summer season. But we sort of understand that this actually is something that helps these different nonprofits, especially, and artisans sort of get the word out about what they've got going on. But sort of there is a sort of an economic value for getting back to these organizations that perhaps we just don't think about maybe throughout the year. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. Some of our drink tents are solely managed by some local nonprofits, including the Goodfellows, the Exchange Club, the Fortson Alumni Varsity Club. And the way the city operates is that the city just takes a small percentage of the profits at the end of the day, but we provide them the lion's share because we understand that when these nonprofits collect resources, they're reinvesting back into our community, back into our families. And so this is really what sprung up homecoming to begin with many years ago. And so we try to keep that tradition to live on. And so far, it's been an extraordinary outcome.
Yeah. Talking about the tradition of homecoming, those of us that can remember them from many, many years ago recall that there have been ebbs and flows. We even for a little while there sort of went off site to a different location. And while things were being sort of tweaked up at the beautiful Dearborn Ford Field, which I think anybody that is from the community knows the location, the venue for Dearborn Homecoming. But if you're listening for the first time and hearing about this, thinking, oh, this sounds kind of fun, Dearborn's Ford Field, right there off of, we'll say, Monroe, between Monroe and Brady, if you will, just between Michigan Avenue and Cherry Hill. We'll give you more details on that in a little bit. But when we talk about how this has grown and sort of changed over the years, what are some things that you're excited about here in 2025 that might make this festival even more unique or bigger and better, which I suspect is always the goal?
The goal is to always make it bigger and better. Obviously, staying true to what Homecoming was intended to do was to draw Dearborn families near and far. And so obviously our carnival footprint has gotten bigger. We've always tried to push to ensure that we have enough rides and games for everyone to enjoy. But then most importantly, Saturday and Sunday, we have the big performances. And this year, Saturday on the August 2nd, we have the Warren Treaty. And Sunday, truly our major performance, we have Third Eye Blind, which is coming in, which should hopefully see thousands of individuals coming out. And I think what's unique to the city of Dearborn is we're hosting, top caliber performers. Last year with All-American Rejects, the year before Natasha Bedingfield, this year Third Eye Blind and Warren Treaty. It's a free concert. And just about nowhere else can you go to a city festival and find such caliber performers where there's no charge. And for us, this is something that we do to give back to our community and neighboring areas. And obviously, we have the strong support of many sponsors who have come forward to ensure that Homecoming is successful.
Yeah. Very excited about those performers, by the way.
And so we know that you want to get a spot on the hill early. Plant your towel, whatever it might be, blanket, and then prepare for the fireworks show, which is going to be the best of anywhere that Saturday and Sunday night.
It always is. That's amazing. It's just such a fun time, such a fun weekend. When we kind of think about so many different types of people coming together from different communities, different areas of the city in terms of, again, business and community and family and nonprofit and so on, and people that just not necessarily living in the Dearborn area, working maybe in the area, but we know that this is beyond Dearborn, certainly at this point, with the numbers that we sort of pull in every single year. I see this, and I'm sure you do too, but I'm going to let you speak to this, as just a brilliant opportunity to showcase the city itself and the sense of community in the city and really let it shine for that weekend. Is that your experience as well, when people kind of come in from the outside sort of first time around and sort of get a taste of what the city offers?
I mean, absolutely, especially when they stop by the cultural pavilion, and what you find there is a Polish-American tent, an Arab-American tent, an Italian-American tent, where they're serving up culture and cuisine, and you can have the best of all worlds from across the globe. And, Dearborn obviously is that place where folks have migrated near and far, and we celebrate that in every small and large way that we can at this festival. And so people really love and enjoy that and cherish it. And to your point, it's a diverse crowd, it's a diverse group of gatherings, and a diverse music that we put up on the stage, the sunrise and the sunset stage. And so you'll get to hear music from all across the globe. And again, you can only truly put it to words if you come and experience it for yourself. And really encouraging folks to come out August 1st to August 3rd. It's the first weekend of August every single year, this year being the 1st, the 2nd, and the 3rd.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. And we are talking about Dearborn Homecoming right around the corner. We don't ever want to forget about our senior community, which we have a very big population here in Dearborn. We know our seniors are treated very well, and the same is true at Dearborn Homecoming. If there are challenges with mobility, parking, access, that kind of thing, can you speak to that just a little bit, and just to make sure that that everybody that wants to be a part of this can?
Absolutely. We provide, there's obviously shaded areas. If you're parking and it's a long walk, you have a golf cart service that'll pick you up and try to drive you to the portion of the park where you're trying to get to, as well as if you're trying to leave the festival and get back to your car, there's typically some sort of transit available that'll get you back to your vehicle safely. And to your point, there's something for everyone. I mean, there's even a bocce ball tournament. I can't say I'm the best bocce ball player around, but I've known to have knocked out a few of my Italian comrades. So if you're feeling lucky, you also want to enroll in that. This is hosted by the Dearborn Goodfellas, the Italian-American club. So the bocce ball tournament lives on, and we'll see you on those courts as well.
Oh, it sounds fun. And we can't forget about the Kiwanis Turbo Turtle Derby,
Yes.
which is that is the I there's nothing like it. I can confidently say that, I think, across America.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. And if you're unaware, this kind of a floating turtle derby down the Rouge River. And so please feel free to come by, check it out, support our local Kiwanis Club, which is doing phenomenal work in the neighborhood.
Yeah. And if you want more details about too many things to share at this point in time, go to the website. It is just as simple as going to DearbornHomecoming.com. You can certainly get to it from the City of Dearborn website as well, but DearbornHomecoming.com, maybe to get carnival tickets in advance, to find out about shuttle service, which I understand is going to be up and running, as well as many of these performances, these special activities that might be timed for the sake of making sure you get to see everything that you want to and participate in everything. Mayor, it is always a pleasure to get your perspective of this event as sort of the overseer of all of this kind of thing. But we know that it takes sponsors and it takes money and support to put something like this on. J&T, Crova Towing, Ford Community Relations, the major sponsors, and I know there are many others. How would you say the support and sponsorship for this year's festival really kind of maybe shapes the scope or the scale of it?
Absolutely. I mean, they're directly tied. Since we've come in, we have actually broken the fundraising record each year. We've done so again this year, largely due in part to our main sponsors, J&T Crova, as well as Ford Motor Company. And extremely thrilled and honored to have their support, as well as the growing number of sponsors. And when you talk about bringing in major performances and performers, really, the larger you go, the more expensive it gets. The more events that you host, the more expensive it gets. And we always want to make sure that this is an affordable festival for families so all can come and enjoy. And so we do our best to get as many sponsors as possible to keep those prices down. You know, some other things that we do that might also be unique to Dearborn, for example, when we have our local vendors come in for the food area, we actually have contractual agreements that they're not to charge more than $2 per bottle of water, ensuring that even the most basics, obviously, if you have a refill bottle, you can fill up at any of our stations for free. But we do our best at all points to make this affordable. And to your point, if you want to buy a festival band in advance, it is cheaper. Go online, you can buy that festival carnival ticket from now, because you do get a discount relative to purchasing it in person. So again, our sponsors help keep prices down. Prices down help keep families coming in.
Thank you. Mayor Hammoud, you have been, as mayor of the city of Dearborn, sort of, well, I'm just going to say it, sort of in charge of homecoming. I know you have Erica and others that do the heavy lifting, but we're, you know, at the top, we're putting you in charge. And so you've seen, I'm sure, changes ebbing and flowing, and we've again had some sort of major different types of community events related to the ebb and flow of homecoming. But any thing that you're most looking forward to this year, any special memories that you want to try to recreate, you know, with your family, and you know, what does this feel like to you personally speaking as a member of this community and not just as the leader of this community?
Yeah, you know, I know this is audio only, but you see me wearing my Dearborn Dad sweatshirt. And what I'll say is, you know, my eldest daughter, you know, closing in on 4 now, is finally of the age where she might be able to enjoy more than just one carnival ride. And so I really love just being able to go with the family, have a great bite to eat, check out the atmosphere, and enjoy some downtime and kind of balance the two hats of operator of the homecoming festival, as well as father, ensuring daughters have a great time alongside my wife. And so that's obviously the best part. And although the kids aren't old enough to stay awake for the fireworks show, my wife and I tend to put them down and come back and find our own spot on the hill to watch the greatest fireworks show, I think, till this day, that I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. And we are so looking forward to that future memory, you know, making memories now to look back on for the future as well. So, yeah, good luck with the rides. And I have to avoid the just the twirly ones at this stage of my life. I don't know what happens. It's an equilibrium thing. You get to a point where I can do the coasters, but those twirl around ones, yeah, not for me. But you've got a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Certainly. Well, we thank you for your time. We thank you for all the effort that you and your entire team certainly have been and are continuing up until the very last minute and throughout the weekend as well, putting forth to make sure that this is a fun and productive and safe environment for everyone. Again, Dearborn's Ford Field is a beautiful location for an event like this. We know that there will be amazing weather because it will. We just need it to be, and it will be. And especially looking forward to seeing people that we don't often get the chance to see throughout our busy and hectic lives here in Dearborn. That is, to me, the most fun, is just connecting with people that you haven't seen for a while, which is truly the spirit of homecoming, because it's coming home. So final thoughts as we wrap up for this big celebration, August 1, 2, 3.
Don't want to miss it. Be sure to check it out. Look at all the events at DearbornHomecoming.com. And a shout out to Alia Phillips, Erica Mara, and the whole team who've done a phenomenal job with this.
Awesome. We thank you for your time, and we look forward to seeing you at homecoming.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've got more on the way. This is the WHFR Journal. Mayor Abdallah Hamoud here at the City of Dearborn Homecoming Festival. As he said, it's DearbornHomecoming.com. And of course, when you're there, do step over to the WHFR broadcast booth. We'll be broadcasting all weekend long. We are typically just outside of the carnival area. So if you hear the carnival music and you smell all of the wonderful food like elephant ears and all that kind of stuff, you're probably pretty close to WHFR. So we look forward to seeing you. Step up and say hello. More to come. This is the WHFR Journal. Stay with us.
Talking about guns with others might not always feel comfortable, but it could save a life. Here's a way to start a conversation. Your family is going over to your neighbor's home for dinner for the first time. How would you ask if there are any unlocked guns in the home?
Hey.
Hey, we're so excited for tonight. Before we come over, though, may I ask if there are any unlocked guns in your home?
Our guns are stored securely, locked in a safe that the kids can't access.
Awesome.
Learn how to have the conversation at agreetoagree.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Welcome in this segment of the WHFR Journal. We are super excited to be talking about what we need more of in this world, and that is green space, right? Because green space provides so many wonderful benefits, tangibly so, and especially for our young people. I recently enjoyed reading an article in the local paper here in Dearborn about what one particular school campus is doing to appeal to the youngsters of today to get more into that green space, and certainly an easy thing to do when you've got people that know what they're doing, to take action, take initiative, and make it happen. And that is exactly what the Salina Schools campus here in Dearborn has done. So joining me at this time on the line is the principal of Salina Elementary School, Susan Stanley. And Susan, it is such a pleasure to meet you. And in a couple of just simple chats that we've had, I already feel like we are kindred spirits, fast friends, and this interview is going to completely solidify that. So no pressure, but can't wait to hear about the Dearborn Green Schoolyards Initiative and how your campus has embraced this challenge and actually made it happen. So welcome to the Journal. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm so excited to be able to share this initiative. And hopefully, no pun intended, it will be the seed for other schools and other communities to take this on.
Love it. First of its kind in Dearborn, yes, at a Dearborn Public School. Tell us a little bit about your campus and how this whole thing came to be. It sounds like it didn't happen overnight, that's for sure, as most good things don't.
Thank you. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about our campus. We are in the southeastern portion of Dearborn, and so we're landlocked by the Rouge factory plant. And so that plant and that factory, that whole area over there is like all things, right? It gives benefits, great benefits, and great challenges as well. It's been the place for over 100 years where immigrants have come and offered job opportunities and many things. And so this is really a beautiful area of Dearborn that one teacher described as the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. Mm-hmm. And it really is. It's just a really unique and beautiful part of Dearborn Public Schools and the city of Dearborn. The challenge is that our air quality really poses some problems for us as well. So it's kind of twofold. You've got a challenge. And so what do you do with that, right? The other thing is that across the nation and probably across the world too, childhood has moved indoors over many years. And so as an early childhood expert, that is really my love, is how do we get kids outside to play? And how do we help parents feel better about our kids getting outside to play? So we have this really unique campus. We are a K-8 campus with two buildings on it, and we really have a lot of good land. Not as many trees as we would like. And so sometimes playing outside can pose some challenges because of the air quality and things like that. So about 5 years ago, we found a grant called Cities Connecting Children to Nature. And what it was a technical grant. And it was a pretty easy grant to fill out. It was one of those things that our former executive director, Dr. Chokol, showed it to me. And it's like, yes, let's do it. And we had no idea what we were signing up for. So we were accepted, and we were accepted out of hundreds of other school districts across the nation, probably because of where we're situated and what our needs are. And so what this grant offered was an opportunity for us to meet with other districts and other cities across the nation that have tried to provide more green space for their students. So you've got places in Boston, in New York City, in Atlanta, Texas, and other areas that have said, how can we create more green space? Because what I've learned and what we're all learning is that not only are there benefits for children being outside and for the community, for everybody being outside, but we got to bust up a lot of the cement that we've had over the years, because that is one of the reasons why we have so much flooding and just lots of other environmental issues. And there are certain trees that you can plant that can really cut down on the pollution. So it really was kind of a win-win situation. And back then it was Mayor O'Reilly that signed the pledge that said, okay, and Dr. Maleko, we can work together to bring our resources from the city and from the district to see what we can do to create a green space. That's kind of how we got started.
Yeah, wow. The first thing that you said about we decided to come together to take some action and do something, but we didn't know what we were doing, right?
No.
That is a story that resonates and I think will resonate with our listeners, because it seems like most passion projects begin that way, right? But they if you take that leap, if you take that risk for the right cause, it is going to create itself. It is going to sort of manifest and grow and become the end goal, bigger and better than what we probably imagined to begin with. So that definitely takes that leap of faith, but it also takes a group of like-minded people willing to do the hard work and willing to come together for this cause. You mentioned some names that we recognize, and I'm sure there's some names that maybe most in the community won't recognize that were very instrumental in helping to push this forward. So tell us about that sort of part of the process, kind of coming together for the cause.
You know, I really will, because honestly, I don't live in the city of Dearborn. I couldn't have more respect for this city and for the community and for our city leaders and our district leaders, to me, and our service agency leaders. To me, Dearborn really is a model city, because it's like, how do we take all of these resources and work together? And that's not a new idea for Dearborn. Dearborn has been doing this. The articulation, and you know this yourself with the college, between the police, the fire, all the social service agencies, and the district working together for that one cause, that's really how we can empower people and how we can move initiatives forward. And so what helped is a few years ago, then when we started this, Mayor Hamoud and Dr. Maleko, and we had some district people, and we also had some people from the city of Dearborn, we visited Grand Rapids, because Grand Rapids is a city that started this a few years ago. And I thought, oh my gosh, if Grand Rapids can do it, oh, we can totally do it. Dearborn is a city of beautiful parks and great resources. They already have that vision of what they want for their community. So we just need the tools of how to make it work. And so what we were able to do is, we didn't have to reinvent the wheel. We were given so many great resources from Cities Connecting Children to Nature. And they helped us. They gave us the map of how to do that. So we took people, a core team from the city of Dearborn under the mayor, Mayor Hamoud's leadership. And then under Dr. Maleko's leadership, we got a team together. And then we started a Green Schools Coalition. And out of that, because I really need to backtrack just a little bit, back in the day, there was an initiative where we were, and it's escaping me right now, the name, it'll come to me, but they were putting school gardens into all of the schools. And it was an initiative between Beaumont Hospital at the time, and I think it was called Healthy Dearborn, and they started to do school gardens. Oh my gosh, our kids, they loved it. They really, really loved it. So that was the thing that started moving us towards doing something like that. And then with that, we were able to get the support then of, you know, Access has helped us. LAHC has really, really been a great partner. Friends of the Rouge, CRSD, ICCD, the Dearborn Community Fund. And then we've had our businesses like Dearborn Sausage, CMS Energy, Exchange Club, Levy, Home Depot, PNC Relief. You know what I guess I really want to say is, also, we've had great support and collaboration with U of M Dearborn, U of M Ann Arbor, and Wayne State University, right? Because isn't this like a perfect case scenario that, you know, a lot of times you have universities working in a silo, and then you've got school districts working in a silo, and then you've got the city, and we're all working on the same thing, but we're all spinning our wheels. This was a great way for us to get together. So when I talked about the Green Schools Coalition, all of these people then were invited to join our Green Schools Coalition. And we would meet every other month, and we would share ideas, and we would talk about what our vision was. And we had the vision, and we knew what we wanted to do. And oh my gosh, when this first started out, we thought, how is this ever going to happen? Because we know school districts don't have money for this. Cities don't have money for this. Grants are available. What can we do? And really, what started out as a dream then became a vision through the help of the Green Schools Coalition. And then it became a reality. And we just opened up this playground that cost $600,000, and not a penny of district money was spent on that. And it was through the generosity of all of these great organizations, and somebody knowing somebody else, and somebody knowing somebody else. And, you know, whether it was a $100 check or a $10 check or $1 million, every bit came together and helped us do this. Because this really is the power, and you know this, it's about community and it's about connections. And I have always said, bring people out to our school and look at the faces on these kids. Nobody is going to say no to that. Who can argue with what our children need and the joy that they need? And they get this moment in time for their childhood. They're never going to be 5 years old again. And we have to do everything that we can to make sure that it is a good 5-year old experience for them.
And that you are. On the line today, we are joined with Susan Stanley, who is the principal of Salina Elementary School here in the city of Dearborn. And on this edition of the journal, we're talking about green schoolyards. We're talking about this concept that, as Sue has shared, has really come together in a beautiful way to create an opportunity, a learning opportunity, sort of a Zen opportunity, and just a way to get students to experience more nature, more natural settings for their health, of course, as I said, for playing and for learning, because the best, you know, learning experiences are through play, as we certainly know. We were all kids once, and we get that and remember that, and how wonderful to have this community come together on this cause. Sue, the Salina Schools campus is a K through 8 campus. About how many students are we talking that support the entire campus?
Probably about 1,200.
1,200. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's,
yeah.
That's a lot of students that
will
benefit in this regard. For Dearborn Green Schoolyards to last, to continue to expand and grow, and as you said, sort of planting the seed through this starting point, it's got to start somewhere. What do you see needing to happen, and what do you think is going to be really important to keep this initiative moving forward? Because once this traction is kind of existing,
sure,
it's a good time, right, to kind of grow out.
Yeah, thank you for asking. That's a really important question, and it's something that's been at the forefront of my mind, and I think every administrator here, because I don't want this to end if I were to ever leave, right? The garden, the outdoor play, and it's not just outdoor play. We've got outdoor learning spaces as well. We've got shelters for the kids that are there. I forgot to mention that we also have a partnership with the Toledo Zoo, where they're just starting to plant a prairie in the back. So that's an outdoor learning science lab. So what we're doing is that we... You know, with this community, we have a lot of parent meetings and things like that. So we're always talking about it. It is always in our conversation, and it is in our conversation as well with teachers and their staff. So ingrained in us, it's not just about we're going to go outside and we're going to play and, oh gosh, this is fun. I mean, the kids are going to think that. But what's ingrained in us is that awesome responsibility of not just teaching kids to read and write, but to build environmental stewards. And so that is something that we hammer home all the time. And so that is something that is going to be just part of this school and this community's culture, as it is in many schools across the nation. It really is.
Yeah, I love that. We are learning about ways to make some big changes. I'm sure there are ways to make some small changes as well to kind of
sure.
kick this going. I suspect we might have some teachers listening from some other schools and some other communities as well, maybe administrators thinking, wow, I can't believe they did that and it actually worked. We've been talking about this for years. You know, what would you suggest, since you've sort of lived the experience now and sharing your knowledge, what would you suggest would be a good sort of a jumping off point, a place to start for someone who is inspired by this story at Salina Elementary?
Thank you. Really great question, because when we first started looking about the cost of everything, it's overwhelming and you think, how is this going to happen? So it's important to have that vision. It's important to have a team of people that you bring together, so it can be parents, and it should be parents and staff members, and you can start small. This is our dream and this is our why. Why we need to bring childhood back outdoors. You know, why this is just so important. And you start small with that. And then you start looking at, where can I put a space where kids can go outside and they can explore? You know, we didn't have any money for many years. And I will tell you, the city of Dearborn was wonderful. They cut down trees, so they had logs. So Silas and Scott Racer would say, okay, we've got some logs, we can bring them over. And we made a council ring. And I know there's another elementary school that did this too, just out of logs that were cut and then cemented in the ground. We also put some logs on the playground so the kids can climb and they can play and they can explore. That didn't cost anything. And the thing is that I guess my best advice is, obviously, Obviously, there's going to be roadblocks. For sure there are. But don't let them stop you, because there is a way, there's a detour you can make. And all you have to do, not all, but keep talking about that vision, because somebody's going to know somebody else that knows somebody else that you didn't even know about that are going to say, hey, did you know this grant is available? U of M Dearborn, they've been fabulous. With helping us with that. And then through that, we got to know someone else in Ann Arbor that is teaching a course on landscape architect. And she's got some students that need a capstone project. So it's like, come help us design an outdoor learning place in one of our, where we can sit. We've already got the trees there. We just want to make it shadier. We want to make it more beautiful. And so we can do this with not a lot of money. So it's possible. There are businesses that will donate. There are people that, well, we had ICCD, a small group of very, very powerful people at the others in West Dearborn that heard about our initiative, and they did a fundraiser for us so we could buy benches. And it was just, it was wonderful, really great. So I think the other thing that's just really important is to just talk to other people that are going through the process.
Yeah. I suspect, Sue, that you probably already have and will continue to get lots of questions and requests for support and guidance. And I suspect that you will be very open to sharing that knowledge.
Absolutely.
That's how we pass it forward or pay it forward, certainly. On today's WHFR Journal, Susan McGraw with you, by the way, we are excited to be talking with the principal of Salina Elementary School, Susan Stanley, who is working into the summer season here. And that's okay. We all are. It's because we love what we do, right? But we're talking about this amazing Green Schoolyards Initiative through the Salina Schools campus here in Dearborn. And statistically, only a small percentage, I'm learning, of U.S. schools even offer any nature-filled outdoor spaces. Very small percentages, and many have nothing at all. So this opportunity to try to sort of flip the switch a little bit on making sure that this is going to be important and relevant and actually happen is pretty big. It's a pretty big deal. When we have people that might be listening saying, well, let's just get to, we need the math, we need the science, we need the reading, we need the writing, we don't need to deal with any of that stuff. I cannot think of specific studies, but I know they're out there about just how much, you know, support that the brain gets from experiencing the outdoors and nature and exploring in that regard. So what do you say to those naysayers?
Oh, I can say just ask, because there is so much. And actually, in our booklet that I shared, it's really great because Children Connecting Cities Connecting Children to Nature, they have helped provide us with a lot of that research. And there is more and more and more research coming out of that. It's like, we'll talk about how our children look different now than they did 10, 20, 30 years ago. And there's certainly not one answer to it. But one thing that we do know is that they've got to get up and they got to be moving around, and that energy and breathing helps with the brain. You know, there's a saying I said to the teachers, you know, if kids are driving you up the wall, it's because we've created the walls, right? We got to get rid of the walls and let them go outside and they can learn. And think about yourself. When you were a child and you're thinking about an elementary school, some of those great days where your teacher took you outside and you read under a tree, or your art teacher took you outside and you were silent in nature and you drew what you saw, I could go on and on about what that's helping. That's helping with focusing skills. That's hoping, that's just doing so many different kinds of things. So everything that we can do in the classroom, you can pretty much do outside, and it's just a great environment.
The Green Schoolyards Coalition that you spoke to a little bit ago, and that's community groups, departments, organizations, and stuff. Can just the average person in the community listening to this participate in that? And what should we do if we want to?
We would welcome. So they can certainly email me, or they could go on the Salina School blog, because there is information about all of that. Our Green Schools Initiative, and send me an email. and let me know that if you have any interest. And again, I'm so happy to share this story, and I invite any of the listeners to come out to this beautiful place, and we can sit and talk in the garden and see what's going on, because it is possible. And it's not going to look like what this looks like now, but ours didn't either 5 years ago. So, you know, there's a starting point, and just start. It doesn't have to be big and glamorous. It can be as much as I've got a little garden out here with the kids. You know, we're outside right now, and the kids are working in the garden, and I'm going to post on the blog, Teacher Gone Wild, because she's got a hose out there and she's spraying the kids down as they're doing this. And they're having so, it's joyful learning, right? So they're learning about what plants need. They're learning about taking care of the earth. They're learning about taking responsibility and what their contribution is. And that's what's really important for these kids. So we have a lot of things going on, and we're always looking for new suggestions and different ways to do it. And that's what's so great about collaboration and community when you get everybody involved, is because the possibilities are endless.
And thinking about the physical benefits, of course, yes, to being out in nature, and thinking about the ability to play and connect with other students, and all of those kinds of things, certainly important. And there really is some sort of sense of nostalgia to all this, especially the way you put it. Oh, there it is. I love that, the whole kind of grounding concept. Not once did we mention this word, that I'm not saying it's a bad word, but we didn't mention the word, you know, cell phone. We didn't mention the word social media. We didn't mention the word electronic devices, because that's the point of this, right?
That's
sort of that mindfulness and the ability to sort of come out of all that and have this respite, this opportunity to pause that brain. One of the most recent statistics I read about the attention span of a child was alarming, because everything is bite-sized in what they're getting, and that's what they're used to. So kind of speak to that side of it a little bit, behavioral things and so on.
Thank you, because we definitely see that in the schools. We really, really do. And I can't say enough about the book, The Anxious Generation, which is something we're doing as a book study as a staff this year. And more research and comes out that will back what everybody's been thinking for a long time. Technology has its place. Everything does, right? But it doesn't have its place for a five-year-old or for a three-year-old or for a two-year-old. And, you know, parents, a lot of times, they just don't understand the harm that it can actually do to the brain, because it is true. We are seeing a lack of attention because it's the focusing ability. And so one of my favorite books that I will totally recommend to parents, it's called Balanced and Barefoot, How Unrestricted Outdoor Play Makes for Strong, Confident, and Capable Children. You know, we need to get the phones out of these babies' hands and put books in them and get them outside and let them play. We see it especially in a pre-K-3 building, what happens with that. And we also know about the lack of interaction that kids will have with each other. The other thing is, too, is when you think about the human body, we are beautifully made. And it's gross motor first, and then it's fine motor. And your finest motor are your eyes. So kids that are having difficulty reading, that are having difficulty with so many things, you know, if you go back and you look, And like I said, please don't mistake this is the only reason. But one of the things that we know children really need to do is they need to balance. They need this vestibular stimulation. They need outdoor play. They need to jump. They need to skip. They need to hop. And they need it. Not only is it because it's fun, but really it's how our bodies and our brains are made. So it all helps with brain development. So that is why we are passionate about this. And you know what's really interesting? You get them outside on that playground, they don't even think about, I want to go in and I want to sit on the phone, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. They love it. They really love it. That unrestricted play. Oh, so beneficial in so many ways.
Sue, as I'm looking through the Green Schoolyards brochure booklet that you shared with me as well, and I know this is available you'll let us know exactly where we can find it online. I know it is available. But one of the things I'm noticing, and we've got, you know, this is summer, right? We have lots of opportunities to get outside. Maybe it's a little hot, but whatever. We're going to be complaining, you know, when it's 20 degrees and snowing. So I love it. No such thing as bad weather. I love that. There's this little segment here that says four ways to practice self-care in nature. Four ways to practice self-care in nature. I'm reading these things, you know, for kids, and I'm thinking, ooh, this would be good for me, too. This would be good for some of my colleagues. Can you tell us a little bit about those? Give us some tips, if you will, and I'm happy to prompt you with them if you want. But you can,
just in case I forget something, because you know, you're hearing about this in nursing homes. They're putting gardens in nursing homes. They're getting people outside. Do you know, and I wish some chemist would call me and tell me what it is, but I read this a long time ago. There is something in dirt that is released that's really good for your brain. And so working in the garden, how many people have said, you know, I feel this sense of calm doing that? I mean, there is something about putting your feet and grounding. I mean, that is an old ancient custom. These people knew what they were talking about way back then, right? It's you need to take your shoes off. You need to ground yourself in the dirt or on the grass. And you need to breathe. You need to let yourself be outside in nature and calm yourself down because it helps you focus. And when you focus on one thing, it helps your brain slow down. Because how many times do people say, well, I just can't because I'm always multitasking. My brain's always on this and always on that. It's like, yes, it is. But you know, when you go outside in nature and you breathe, you're teaching your brain, I'm focusing on this one thing. Your brain's not in control of you. You are in control of your brain. And by allowing this, by doing this, it really is that sense of focus and calm. And like I said, that's not just researchers in the 21st century saying this. This is thousands of years ago. They knew that.
Yeah, I love that. We often think, oh, that's... I can't believe
it.
That's that hippie mindset. Yeah, that's those crazy people over there that wear the flowers in their hair. First of all, so what? But second of all, it is statistically proven, right? So the first one on this group of four little tips, the first one is earthing, which is kind of like grounding, which is what you spoke to. And I love that. The second one, and it's so fascinating, we often bring in some of our counselors from the college to talk about counseling tips and so on. And they literally use these tips for sort of calming a student, particularly during test anxiety and end of the semester anxiety about finals and so on. And it's called observe, right? Get outside and use all of your senses but while observing nature in some regard. And you want to speak to that for a minute?
I do. Because as a matter of fact, you know, you can always learn. And the Metro Parks puts on really great workshops for kids, for parents, and for teachers. And I went with a group of teachers out to one of the Metro Parks, and they were putting on a science. It was a full day of learning how to take science outside. And one of the things that I hadn't thought about, and it was really simple, is they took hula hoops, and they would put it in one area of where we were, and they told us, sit and just look at this within this little area. And I want you to tell me what you have observed, and you can draw it or whatever. And it helped us focus. And Susan, when you mentioned before about what we know that kids are having difficulty with focus, it's because they've just got too many things coming at them, right? And so simple things like that, that you're going to sit out there and you're going to stare and you're going to look, because we miss so much by the busyness of having our faces in phones. And that's not just little kids. That's all of us. That's all of us. That's me included. And I'm missing a lot of really beautiful things that are out there.
Yeah, I like that. The third of these four tips is, when you can, bring nature inside. I love that.
Yes.
So simple.
It is so simple. And so one of the teachers, they're doing one of the specials for summer school is they're doing gardening. And I walked in, school starts at 9, and I walked into her classroom at 9:30, and I said, oh my gosh, did they forget to clean your room last night? And she said, no, this is just what we've been doing since 9 o'clock. And they had leaves and twigs and all this stuff that they were doing art with. because it was a rainy day and you can bring it in and we can do all these things. And it's beautiful, the things that you can do. And we all know the easy stuff, like bring a plant inside, bring these things inside. It just helps. It helps ground us. Very important. Yeah. Yeah. And that last one on mini moves.
Yeah.
Take a break during your day to go for a quick walk. Truly. Think about it. And listeners, think about it. How many times have we just done that? Like, I got to step away for a minute. Because you know those times you don't step away, you never made good decisions, right? It's like, nope, let me just step away. Let me come back. And then I can think. Because that's what your body needs.
Sue, where can we find this booklet or brochure?
It should be on our website under Green Schoolyards. If you go under Salina Elementary School and it'll say our Green Schools Initiative, that you will be able to find it there. But if you want to come out and visit, I've got them printed up, so I'll hand you one.
Yay. I'm sure you're very, very open to tours at this time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's hard. It really is kind of hard to envision. I've seen the press releases and so on. I've seen some photographs, which look so cool. But yeah, coming out for a tour, you know, just to validate and solidify, hopefully in everyone's minds, how relevant, how important and beneficial this project is, and how proud we should be as a community that that it's starting, that we've got it. And this particular school, you know, Salina School's campus is, we can say that they're the first to have done this, first of hopefully many to come, which leads me, as we wrap up today, Sue, which leads me to, I think, the last important question. Again, we want to impact positive change and that ball keeps rolling and so on. But do you have some goals? You have a sort of a timeline in mind of what you're hoping to see and where your focus is targeting at this point with continuing to grow the Green Schoolyard concept?
Yeah, we certainly do. And that was another thing that's really important, because when we first started with the timeline, I remember I'm thinking, oh my gosh, really? We're going to do this, 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 and this. And I thought maybe we should just start with one. But you know that old saying, begin with the end in mind? It really does work, because you never know when all of a sudden it's going to, you know, you've got phase one. So we did. Our CFO said, oh, we need a timeline and we need to have phases. It's like, okay, that's what we'll do. So we've got phase one, phase two. You know, we're already into phase three. And one of the things that we really want to be able to do is create a recreational field on one of the spaces that is still open, that's behind our community center and kind of near where Dearborn Sausage is. And we want to break up the cement around there, a little bit of cement that it's never, that area is just not used for anything, and to create a sports field, small sports fields for kids to just go play ball and to do things like that. So that is my advice too. When you get together, think about what it is you want for the community and for the children. Because the other thing that's really important, this doesn't just belong to the schools, it belongs to the community. And so what is it that the community would like to see? What are their needs? Do they need more picnic areas? Do you need more trees? Do you need, what are some things to make it an ideal community? And so we will keep doing that. And so growing that is our next step. And then keeping the whole vision alive.
Yeah. Well, we are excited that you are at the helm. And I know you've got a sort of a partner working at the other school. That's
always been amazing. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Very good. Yeah.
It takes a whole team. This is too big of a job to do. So honestly, this is because of district city leadership and this team. So this is all of us working together. I just am happy to be the spokesperson for this great collaboration.
Fantastic. Well, if someone wants to learn more, again, going to the Salina Elementary School site, and they could get there through dearbornschools.org and then search Salina Elementary, and you'll find all this amazing Green Schoolyards information. And I think encouraging the community that maybe they don't have a child of age or a grandchild of age, but just want to be, again, good stewards of supporting great things in this community, as you said, certainly really cool. And also, I think for parents that are experiencing this and appreciating the value of this firsthand, maybe considering what they can do at home to help support this mindset.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I've always said to anybody, if you know someone that's sad or lonely, come over to the school and you can volunteer, or walk by after school and see the kids on the playground. You just can't help but feel better seeing that light in their eyes. Really can't. It'll take you back to your own childhood.
Well, there it is. Susan Stanley, who is the principal of Salina Elementary School here in Dearborn, sharing information about Dearborn Green Schoolyards and so much more. You've planted a lot of seeds, and there's the pun again, but it's true, you have. We thank you for your passion, your commitment to you and the whole team who's working hard. And for those that are just learning about this today on the Journal for the first time, if you'd like to get involved again, you can contact Sue at the elementary school and learn more. Get the brochure and take a little trip, take a little visit, get nostalgic and think about the value of this. We are creating stewards for not only, being better citizens, but also being better stewards of the environment. And that's a win-win all the way around. So, Susan, thank you for your time today. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you for letting us share our story.
Certainly. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
This is the WHFR Journal. We have more on the way. Please do stay with us right here on WHFR Dearborn.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
And that'll do it for this week's edition of the WHFR Journal on this July the 25th. We look forward to seeing you at Dearborn Homecoming Festival next weekend, August 1, 2, and 3. Do make sure that you stop by WHFR's blue and white broadcast tent. We will, of course, have our famous WHFR CDs and albums and 45s available for a dollar donation each. It is the best deal in town, and all of those proceeds benefit WHFR Radio. So it's a fun little treasure hunt to have, and that will be just adjacent to our broadcast tent. New broadcast tent, by the way, this year, our new blue and white tent. Come on down and take a look at it and see what you think. Again, we are going to be just across from the carnival rides at the Ford Field homecoming, so looking forward to it. Also, Sue Stanley, thank you for being with us. She is the principal at Salina Elementary and doing amazing things, getting her students back to nature and helping others do the same as well. So we appreciate that time and that commitment to the cause, certainly. We also want to remind you that enrollment for fall 2025 is underway here at Henry Ford College. If you are thinking, you know, I've always wanted to take that particular class in that particular subject matter, well, what is stopping you? Join us here at HFC. So simply go to hfcc.edu and you will learn everything you need to know about courses and registering and so on. Fall classes will be beginning literally right around the corner, August 21st, and enrollment is underway. If you'd like to learn more about earning even an HFC degree, which is certainly an important life goal, we want to help you celebrate that. And also, we want to help you go through the process successfully. So you can get into the classes you want for a degree, or again, as I mentioned, just for some extra learning. Registration allows students the opportunity to take a look at the schedule, make some decisions, kind of make a course plan, and then ultimately jump in and get underway. So if you'd like to have any questions answered, there is information all over the place on our website. Again, hfcc.edu. There are academic advisors standing by to talk with you. You can simply click a button to make an advising appointment. Whatever you need, we've got support for you. And also note that the WHFR radio class, it's MCA 189, Intro to WHFR Radio, is your gateway to becoming a volunteer here at WHFR. If you'd like to learn more, you can give me a call, Susan McGraw, WHFR General Manager, at 313-845-9842. 313-845-9842, or simply email me, scmcgraw@hfcc.edu. That's scmcgraw@hfcc.edu. It is a pleasure to chat with our listeners, to answer questions you might have about our radio station, celebrating its 40th birthday this year, by the way, or anything related to HFC. And as always, many thanks to our HFC community, our campus community, and especially our Board of Trustees for helping to make this radio station what it is. We thank you for making this program what it is, and we thank you for listening. As a loyal listener, we value you more than anything, and we're here for you. So we appreciate you. We look forward to more connectedness during the summer season, and keep listening because there's more great stuff on the way. This is WHFR Dearborn. Susan McGraw wrapping up today's edition of the WHFR Journal. Do stay with us. More to come right here on the station Making Waves, 89.3 FM, WHFR Dearborn.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Time. That's where my baby stays.